And when I was just speaking about schedules and saying that, you know what, we can be so scheduled and we can have all these appointments, but God always says that we are to follow Him. He may speak to you on spot to do something, but you're so busy about your own business that you can fail to do God's business. You can be in a hurry to go nowhere, even though it's somewhere to you and it's appointed time for you. But God always does things in His appointed time. It's His appointed time to appoint you to speak a word on time, to speak what He tells you to do, to stop what you're doing, to look, to listen, to hear, and to obey Him on spot every time. So I was happy to meet Ted when you were I was walking down the street. You were walking one way and I was walking the other way. And I just felt that that was God's appointment for us to communicate. And as we were walking together down in Sunburst, we were also walking with God. We were also having fellowship with Him when we have fellowship one with another. And that was God's appointment. We did not have that appointment. We didn't foresee it. We didn't know, but we had it in our spirit to know that that was God's precise order, His time, His season, for us to do what He wanted us to do, which is a very important thing. And I was speaking to the church that this week there was a lady that was in a truck and coming one way, I was going the other way to an appointment that I had. And as I was just not quite at the end of the road, from I'm close to the end of the road, this truck coming towards me stopped. And I stopped too, or slowed down, and this woman got out of the vehicle and she started walking towards the road. And I knew that something was wrong. It was like she was kicked out of this vehicle. And I stopped, rolled down the window, and said to her, "Are you okay?" "I'm okay." And I said, "Well, you don't look okay, you know." And then she was crying. And I said, "Can I help you? Is there something I can do to help you?" "Well, I don't know." And she was just, then she just opened up and she was crying. And I told her that God loved her, that He cared about her. And through that, I said, "Give me your name." I was going to be late for an appointment. "Give me your name so that I can pray for you." And she said, "Can you pray for me now?" And I said, "Yes, would you please get in the vehicle, because I don't want to stop traffic. Nobody was behind me, thank the Lord." But she got in, I turned around the other way, pulled off the side, talked with her, prayed with her, and asked her to receive Jesus Christ into her heart as her Savior and Lord, and she did. And then she told me after that, she says, "Well, I feel good. I don't feel bad at all now." And I said, "It's because Jesus has come into your heart." And she says, "I will always now have Jesus in my heart, and I will have you in my heart too." And that's okay for us to have others in our hearts too. We should have a great big heart. There should be room for all of God's people in our hearts. There should be love for everyone. There should be time for everyone. And we can say that we love somebody, but our love and our words have to come together in action. You can tell someone you love them, but if you don't have time to talk to them, if you don't have time to visit them, if you don't want to be with them ever in any situation, is that really love? If we're so busy, dreadfully busy with our own agendas and meeting other people's appointments, we will fail to see God's assignments for us. And so I'm thankful that a person was saved. Now, in getting saved, it's just the beginning. We become a baby in Jesus Christ. Babies need care. If you birth a child into this world and then you abandon that child is going to die. That child will never thrive without the care of others. Well, when we lead somebody to the Lord, if we have that opportunity, we need to do something more than just leading them to the Lord, because when they are born again, they're not born with maturity and understanding of all of God's Word. Somebody told me this week and asked me a question, well, are you really doing the work of the Lord? Are you really, are people really getting saved? Because all you're doing is telling people to say, come in Jesus. I don't go through John 3:16. I don't tell them all the scriptures. I don't tell them to ask forgiveness of their sins. I don't do the four spiritual laws. It never worked for me. It never worked for me to have a form and a formula like that. You know, I just tell them, hey, Jesus cares about you. He loves you. Just tell them, come in. Come in, Jesus. That's all I do. And people are saved. And I know they're genuinely saved. And they're not listing their sins. We all know that we have flunked and failed. We just don't have time to list all of our sins. That verse of scripture in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what we have failed to see is that he was not talking to the unregenerated, unsaved world. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the church. That letter was written to the church. It wasn't a salvation scripture. It was for you and I that after we have received Christ as Savior and Lord, we have fallen short of his glory by our own sins. And then John said, if we say we don't have sin, talking to the church, talking to the believer, talking to the born again, talking to the saved, if we say we don't have any sin, we're liars. The truth is not in us. So when we find that we have fallen short, when we find that we have failed, when we find as a born again child of God, Christian believer, that we have failed, flunked, gone the wrong way, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, the church, the believer, the child of God, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, it isn't just a have been, should have been, if only it would have been, experienced once upon a time that you have confessed and received Jesus Christ as Lord. Many scriptures in the Bible we do not interpret right. We don't interpret it in the now, the here and now. It's a will be, should have been, once upon a time. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9-10, and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now I want to just look at this as God laid it on my heart today. We always use that as a salvation scripture because it is. But have we seen this in the here and now? Have we seen this? If we will confess, is confess past, present, or future? If thou shalt confess, is that past, present, or future? Is the word confess yesterday, today, tomorrow? Thank you. Confess means today. So how is that going to be relevant to you and I right now? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, you may have confessed in him yesterday. You may put it off and say, at a future time, I will confess him as Savior and Lord. But if you fail to confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. For today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here. Today, if you will not harden your heart. Because there are many believers that were saved once upon a time. And they confessed Jesus once upon a time. And they were believers in the Word of God. They were believers in the Spirit of God. They were believers in God once upon a time. But then their faith became shipwrecked. The Bible says in the last days there will be a great falling away. We have to make up our mind, even as the Bible tells us that Joshua said, on the day of his death, choose this day whom you will serve. Yesterday's gone when he delivered you out of bondage. Yesterday's gone when he caused you to possess this promised land. Yesterday's gone when you entered into the blessings of God, when he subdued your enemies, when he booted them out and gave you this land that he promised you. When he fought your battles for you, those things that you acquired from God are a yesterday testimony of what God has brought you through, what God has done for you through your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, your Healer, your Deliverer, the Great I Am, the Almighty God in the midst of you. But yesterday's blessings are a testimony of what the Lord has done. What about your choice today? As for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. We choose to serve him this day. It was the last day of his life. It was the last sermon he would ever preach. His last address to the community of Israel. That was it. But he had this belief, a now faith and a now belief, that after his demise, after he would no longer be able to pray an audible prayer, he would no longer be able to exemplify a faith in Christ or God, he would never be able to walk with another person, he would never be there to remind them. But he had that faith in his heart, that as he chose to serve the Lord, even though his very hour of death was imminent, that he would have a family that would serve the Lord. In the New Testament it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to reiterate this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let me reiterate. What does that mean to you today? Believe. I did believe. I will believe. Well, what about now? Now faith. And so we have to have a now choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve someone else? Will you serve yourself? It's so easy in our society to be totally self-absorbed and self-serving rather than serving God. We have to choose him in thick and thin, not to serve our circumstances, not to serve our problems, not to serve all the things that are screaming and vying for your attention, because those things have come to pass. But God is our eternal Father, Jesus Christ, our eternal Savior, our now Savior, our now God, our now Healer, our now Help, are now life. And all these other things compared to that which is forever are not important. We can lose ourselves in our problems and not even find ourselves in him. We can lose our faith. A now faith means now. And now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yesterday's faith was for yesterday's miracle, was for yesterday's was for yesterday's direction. But now, faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. We must have a now faith for a now direction for a today healing. Today is the day of salvation for you and deliverance and healing. Well, can we be lost? Why would we need the Good Shepherd if we could never be lost? The Good Shepherd, when we get lost, and it will happen. We have been lost, we've been found, but that was yesterday. What about today? What do we choose to do today? Serve ourselves, our problems? Serve a government? Serve whatever, somebody else? Or are we going to serve God? Are we going to choose to serve Him, the great I Am, the first and the last, the A and the B, the beginning and the end, the one that never changes, the one that loves us, our Creator, our God that provides for us? Who are we going to serve today? Because yesterday's choice is not going to fix your need today. God will supply all of your needs. Listen. What does that word supply mean? My God will supply all of your need according to His riches and be in glory by Christ Jesus. Is supply tomorrow or is supply today? Today. And He'll do it tomorrow too as we have faith in Him. It's a now faith, a now salvation, a now believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, which and your household. Well, what happens when our faith gets shipwrecked? Don't expect your household that may be looking at you and observing you and walking in the steps that you're ordering for them, because the Bible says that the Apostle Paul said, be a follower of me as I am of Christ. Imitator of me. There are others that are walking in your steps as you follow God. So you have to be a follower of God as your children. I mean, follower is yesterday or tomorrow or today. You can't follow God tomorrow because tomorrow does not exist. What you did yesterday in following Him no longer exists either. It was a historic event recorded in the book. But you can only be a follower today because you have no idea what tomorrow will bring. When tomorrow comes, you won't be a follower tomorrow of God, because that tomorrow that you talked about will be your today. Today, you make up your mind to serve the Lord. Today, you are a believer. And believers believe. They believe in God. They believe in His infallible word. They believe. And believers receive. That is in the present tense as well. That you are saved today because of your faith in God that is a now faith, irregardless of your circumstances, your problems, or what others have endeavored to inflict on you. You need to let all of that roll off of you. You don't want their sins against you to stick to you. You don't need a root of bitterness. You don't need anger. You don't need wrath. You don't need the problems of other people that they want to make it belong to you. You belong to God as a dear child. Is that a past or a present or a future? If you belong, you belong, you belong to Him. Oh, I'll belong to Him tomorrow. Well, you'll have to make up your mind tomorrow. Who are you going to belong to? You're going to belong to somebody else? You're going to put Him on last place or on the back burner? Or will He be the desire of your heart tomorrow? Irregardless of how you feel physically, mentally, relationally, financially, situationally, that doesn't matter. What matters that you choose to serve the Lord, that you choose Him as your God, that you choose to believe Him no matter what comes your way. Because He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so your circumstances may be lying to you. That God doesn't do anything bad to you. God is a good God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't put that on God. What you believe about God is going to make a difference in your walk, one way or the other. If you believe that God poured out cancer on somebody, then you didn't read your Bible. That didn't come from God. He's not the author of it. Why did Jesus go to the cross and pay the penalty and price for your salvation, healing, and deliverance, and then inflict you with it just so that He could come out to be the hero? You wanted to make your child sick. Give that child some poison and then medicate the child so that you become the hero? No! You don't shoot somebody, rush them to the hospital and get them fixed and become the hero. You know, I saved you! Well, you just about killed me. The enemy, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's anything. Everything and everyone. Everyone. God is not the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer. He said that He's come that we might have life in heaven more abundantly. So now faith. Not has been, should have been, could have been, if only it would have been, or will have faith. I will believe. Well, you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow until it comes. You have to make up your mind every day to serve the Lord. You have to make up your mind, who is your God? You have to make up your mind, excuse me for saying it, comes hell or high water, you will serve the Lord, you will believe in Him, you will walk with Him, no matter what somebody did, somebody said, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much was stolen from you, God didn't do it. Don't attribute it to Him. The thief came. He might have been in the form of another person who came and robbed you. He came and stole from you. But he was an agent of not God. He was an agent of the devil. Every bad thing comes from the devil and good things come from God, who is good all the time. He loves you all the time. And when I was a child, I spoke about this. There was a cartoon. We liked cartoons. We had the black and white television, you know. We didn't have more than one channel, so if you're going to watch something, you just watch these really old-type cartoons. And I think you can even Google this. I did that a while back to see if I could find this little cartoon. And I didn't get it quite right, but I remember this. You say that you love them. There's two bears, and they were looking at each other, and it said, you say that you love them with a slap. And the bears are slapping each other's faces. Slap, slap. So I'm a child. I'm looking at this cartoon and thinking, love comes with a slap? That's how you communicate love. You slap each other in the face, you know? That's love? I don't think so. God's love doesn't come with a slap in the face. God's love is not that way. I wouldn't say that if you slap me in the face that you're my friend. Not that friend that sticks closer than a brother, you know. If we do according to the Bible and we turn the other cheek, after we turn the other cheek, it didn't say what to do then smack them in the face. I've turned my other cheek now, bam, you're going to wish you hadn't hit me the first time you hit me the second. That's our human nature, come on. You know, come on, let's be real. Come on, ha ha. We can. But you know, it's true, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, you might obey the Bible and let them smack you a couple of times, but then you're not gonna keep taking it. You know, I did that once in my life. I turned the other cheek. Hit me again. Then I turned it again, kept doing it. That was really to the point where it was provoking the other one. But she keeps hitting me. So I kind of thought that maybe I won that battle because they quit hitting me after a while. And I wasn't going to cry. I was a teenager. I wasn't going to cry. I just stood up and got hit again. But that wasn't maybe the wise decision for me. Didn't say keep turning your other cheek. You know, I turned once. That was enough. And all I kept doing, I did that twice in my life, by the way. Twice. Neither one of them turned out too good for me. But I kept doing it, kept doing it. I don't care how much you hit me, I'm going to still turn the other cheek. But you know, let's get back to what God is. He's not slapping you around. The devil does that. And then his really, really success is when he can convince you that cancer come from God, that automobile accident come from God, that he authored it. No, he didn't. He did not. Well, why doesn't God stop everything? You know, why didn't he stop John the Baptist from being beheaded? God could have stopped that. Why did he allow Stephen in his prime life, which was doing mighty miracles for God, why did he allow him to be stoned to death? You were still alive and breathing. You know, nobody's stoning you to death right now. Nobody's doing it right now to you. You're still alive. Why did he allow the Apostle Paul to get his head chopped off? Why did he allow the martyrs? Why did he allow people to go through the suffering, the trials, and the tests? God didn't do it. God did not authorize it. He sent his son to heal, repair, revive, restore, renew, bring us into his family, and give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he didn't say that you would be exempt from pain. He did not say that he was going to stop the oppressor. He did not say that you were always going to feel good. He gave you the option to do good. Do good for those that despitefully use you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. You're going to be a do-gooder to them and forgive them and bless them. Sometimes we just want to bless them out. Come on, let's be real. You want to give them a piece of your mind, and it's not always the mind of Christ that you want coming out of your mouth. We've all been there and all done it. I don't care what your title is. I don't care how many times you spoke in tongues. I don't care how many sermons you preached. How many evangelistic assignments that you fulfilled. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done it. And the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we will believe, we will see the salvation of the Lord. When he told them to stand still and see his salvation, it stands past, present, or future. Somebody help me. If it's past, you stood. If it's future, you will stand. But they had to stand still and see his salvation. So that means we're looking unto him. We're not doing anything. We're not fixing anything. We're not controlling anything. We're not in charge of anything. When we're standing there, and then he tells us, when you have done all, Ephesians the 6th chapter, then stand. Stand in faith. Stand in his word. Stand in his armor of God. Stand. Stand. So we have a choice to either stand or fall. To either rise and shine because your light has come. 660 Isaiah. Arise and shine. That means we stand up now. We rise up now. because your light has come. We need to walk in that light. Walk is a now thing. We need to walk in the Spirit is a now thing. Now let's go back to Romans 8, 10, 9, and 8. If we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus confesses today, and believe in our heart, believing is today, that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe is the today thing, the choice today, then we will be saved and our household. What does this mean? Well, I believed in him to save my household, and they're just acting like the devil. They're not coming in at all.
I believe. Where is, are they?
Believe is the continuity of faith. A now faith, not yesterday's faith, not yesterday's believing, not yesterday's walk, not yesterday's talk, not yesterday's confession, not yesterday at all. Yes, he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that you believed in yesterday, he was faithful and true then. He'll be faithful and true today. He'll be faithful and true tomorrow. But what about you? When we refuse to have faith in God, then all the promises of God, listen to me, are yes and amen to what? Finish it up. Those that believe. Not a has-been faith. Yesterday's faith will not receive the promises of God, the provision of God, the help of God. Our help comes from the Lord. Help us today. Not I will help you, but today's help. When we believe today, we have to believe yes and amen, so be it, to those that believe. You keep on believing. Another scripture that is very important, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. Now, it isn't asked, it isn't will ask, but it's a continuity. When you look at the Bible meaning of it, it says ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And it will be open unto you. Now, that is a future thing. It will be. So if you stop asking, don't expect God to give you what you believed in and asked for yesterday. If you don't have a continuity of asking, coming before the throne room of grace to find help in your time of trouble. Well, I've still got the trouble. Are you still asking? Are you still believing? Are you still seeking? Are you still trusting God? In whom we trust is a today thing. Yesterday's trust is not going to get you that safety today. What we believed yesterday is not going to fix your today, and you don't have tomorrow. But we affirm our love for him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not, well, I loved him once upon a time. They said in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Well, what about yours? Do you want to have a cold heart? A hard heart? But he says, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart today. Because you have a choice to do whatever you want with your heart. You can have a heart that's stony, or you can have a heart that is humble and receptive. You choose what you're going to do today. Doesn't matter how many times you failed. Doesn't matter how many times you missed the mark. Doesn't matter how many times you sinned, how many times you failed, how many today. God is calling you today. God is extending his arms to you today. God is speaking to your heart today. God is loving you today. Love is of God. Love is a now, not once upon a time. How he loved you. He loves you today. And if we are blessed with a tomorrow that will become today, and his love never fails. His compassion is new morning by morning. Great is his faithfulness. New compassion today, yesterday spent. You've got a new batch of it today. You've got new mercies that you see today. God is faithful and true to you today. And if you will believe, you will receive the promises of God are yes and amen to those that believe. Now. Now faith. Now believing. Now trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now I have trust in you and you failed me. No, we never failed. We failed to trust. Lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will keep on directing your path as you keep on in the night trusting him. Have faith in God now. Trust him now. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're experiencing, your disappointment should never dictate to you. That's not eternal. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we do with that is going to make a difference in what others see and do. If you are a written epistle known and read by men, they may have read your book yesterday, but y'all got a new page today. Just hold your head up high and say, well, yesterday has forgiven. Today, I'm walking with God. You can say what you want or think what you want, but I made a decision that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what my past was. It doesn't dictate my now, and it will not be my future. I'm going to walk with God today. No matter what happens, no matter who wants to walk with me, they'll find out that I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. And that page that's being written is on a nice, clean sheet. All my sins forgiven? Yeah, because I asked. I confessed. Now, if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. They're gone. You don't need to bring it up again. You know, it's like regurgitating that stuff all over again, you know. Just forget it. He forgets you. You need to forget it. He forgives and he forgets. You need to forget those things that are behind. Forgetting. That is a noun thing. Every day, the Apostle Paul had to forget those things that were behind. Forget that he had persecuted the church. Forget that he had seen the martyr of the first martyr, Stephen, and wanted that to happen. Forget how many people that he had caused to go to prison for the cause of Christ when he did not know better. Well, what if you know better and didn't do better? Confess it. And decide what you're going to do now. Now faith. Now trust. Now confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe today in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I just want to reiterate this. There are people that have confessed yesterday Jesus Christ is Lord, but then They've changed their mind. Jesus never fails. His word is the same. What about our faith? Because it's not supposed to be wavering. Up today, down tomorrow. Believe. Just steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord means always. No matter what. No matter who's with you and who isn't. No matter who abandoned you and who stayed. If you're all by yourself, you're never alone. Jesus is with you always. Make up your mind. You don't have to have a majority. God and you are the majority. It's enough for you. He's more than enough for you. If you stand alone, just stand. If you're the only believer, believe. You can have whatever you believe. Not yesterday's faith. What are you going to believe today when it didn't happen yesterday? You keep believing, you keep asking, you keep standing, you keep confessing. A friend of mine is confessing his healing every day. You know who he is. He's going to say it because it's out there. Roger Webb. Confessing every day his healing. Every day. He's had this he's been in problems for years. Kidney failure. He's confessing that God's going to heal him completely. He's going to be out there preaching the gospel like he was, like he's better than ever before. Well, he believed yesterday and it didn't happen. He believed 2 years ago and it didn't happen. He's been on kidney dialysis for 2 years and he said eligible for a transplant. Well, he is eligible for a miracle. When did we start depending on the doctors to do what only the great physician can do? I'm not eliminating the doctors. I'm just saying we got a great physician. He never makes a mistake. You don't have to sue him for screwing up your surgery. You know what I mean? He never fails. He doesn't make a mistake. When did we stop believing? When did we stop confessing? When did we stop walking by faith and not by sight? When did we stop believing for our household to be saved, for change to come, for Him to make all things new for you, to turn things around for you? When did we stop short of His glory? For He said, about your afflictions, it's like affliction compared to the glory to come. If we would just believe, we will see the salvation of the Lord. But you've got to have faith now. This active, this walking, the confessive, this constant, no matter what people say, no matter what your circumstances are screaming, the devil's not your God. You're not your God. Nobody else is your God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Is today. Is. Exists today. He's Lord of everything. Lord of all. I am the God that healeth thee. Not I was or will be. I am. I am. Well, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow will be today. I am. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your Helper. I am your everything and all. Have faith in God. For He is more than enough for you.